Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from a study of Ezekiel, Part 5, The Restoration. And I've divided Part 5 into two parts also. First part, foretelling, predicting the restoration. And the second part, actually describing the restoration, which is what we're doing right now. I'm in Chapter 41, verses 1 to 4. Difficult passages to read through. I don't read every single word when I'm going through this, and I'm not asking you to either. Just want you to get the general idea, see if we can figure out what he's talking about. He brought me to the nave and measured the jambs. Remember, the jambs are just doorposts. On each side, 6 cubits, which is 10 feet, was the breadth of the jambs, and the breadth of the entrance was 10 cubits, or 18 feet. The side walls were 9 feet, and the length of the nave, 40 cubits, or 70 feet. And he went into the inner room and measured the jambs, and so on. MacArthur here points us to 1 Kings 6:20. You can look this one up. Letting us know that the dimensions of a most holy place are the same as in Solomon's temple. Just this part. Now, everything else that's in Ezekiel is really different. But this is the same because God is the same. He demands the same amount of space here. If you've got more people and different people, you're going to need larger structures elsewhere on the compound that we're going to be talking about. But our God never changes. So this, the temple itself, the measurements are the same. Look at verses 5 to 11. The walls and rooms of the temple. Again, I will be skimming some of this. He measured the wall of the temple, which was 10 feet thick, and the breadth of the side chambers, which was 7 feet all around the temple. And the side chambers were in 3 stories, one over another, 30 in each story. There were offsets all around the wall of the temple to serve as supports for the side chambers so that they wouldn't be supported by the wall of the temple. And it became broader as it wound upward to the side chambers because the temple was enclosed upward all around the temple. And so the temple had a broad area upward, and so one went up from the lowest story to the top story, through the middle story, and so on. The free space between the side chambers of the temple and the other chambers was a breadth of 35 feet all around the temple on every side. And the doors of the side chambers opened on the free space, one door toward the north, another toward the south, and so on. There's a wall here, a wall of protection and separation around the temple grounds, and a second wall separating the holy places from the court. Notice the thickness of that wall. Built onto that wall, but not supported by it, are 3 stories of little rooms. 30 on each floor. Their location, their walls, and the free space they open to, it's all described here. We won't tarry here, except to remind us that the intricacy of this description can only point to a literal, physical building. You can try your stuff, you know, well, this means this, and please, just read what it says. It's not a series of lessons to be extracted. This is the most intricately described building project in all of Scripture. How about verses 12 to 15? There's another building that's measured. The building that was facing the separate yard on the west side was 70 cubits broad. That's 123 feet. And the wall of the building was 9 feet thick all around. And its length was 158 feet. Then he measured the temple, 175 feet long, and the yard and the building with its walls, 175 feet long. Also the breadth of the east front of the temple and the yard, 175 feet, and so on. I have been changing. You'll notice I'm reading the feet. Feet is not in the Bible. Cubits are in the Bible, and I'm just translating as we go along, transferring it from feet to, from cubits to feet. You may remember that there were 3 gateways into the temple grounds, from the east, the north, and the south. On the west, There stood a building between the wall and the temple. No purpose was given for its existence, but it was definitely separate from the temple. And so the temple, if its yard is included, is 175 feet square. And so too the building on its western side. Notice again the meticulous precision and order of our God's ways. The universe, too, is in precise order with measurements that cannot be changed until God changes them. Now let's add some beauty to the precision. That's another characteristic of our God. He's ordered and he's beautiful. The inside of the nave, up in verse 15 to 20, the inside of the nave and the vestibules of the court, the thresholds and the narrow windows and the galleries all around the three of them, opposite the threshold, were paneled with wood all around, from the floor up to the windows, to the space above the door, even to the inner room. And on all the walls was a measured pattern. It was carved of cherubim. Now, that's a familiar term to those of you who have been studying Ezekiel with me. Cherubim and palm trees. A palm tree between cherub and cherub. Every cherub had two faces, a human face toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. They were carved on the whole temple all around. From the floor to above the door, cherubim and palm trees were carved. Similarly, the wall of the nave. Beautiful wood paneling here. Window coverings. Measured patterns on the wall. And the cherubim. We met them with Brother Ezekiel in the first chapters of the book. Now we see them again here in the last chapters in art forms. I mean, we saw the real deal originally. The human and lion faces are shown. We don't see the eagle and the ox, remember that? We'll not begin to understand the choice, only note it. And the palm trees, like in Solomon's decorations. Matthew Poole comments, a very beautiful, this palm tree, upright tree from a straight, well-grown body, spreading its head with large boughs and branches, which were used on occasion of joy, I meant to say boughs and branches, and they were emblems of victory. So everything in there, it's not just, let's put some palm trees up there, that'll be pretty. No, there's a significant meaning, and I don't want to go too far that direction. But when God puts a picture somewhere, you do have the right to say, well, I wonder what that means. But when he gives you words, and you don't have to do anything with those palm trees beyond the obvious there. Verses 21 and 22, an altar of wood. The doorposts of the nave, or the temple, were squared. And in front of the holy place was something resembling an altar of wood, 3 cubits high, 2 cubits long, 2 cubits broad. Its corners, its base, its walls were of wood. And he said to me, this is the table that is before the Lord. Now, MacArthur believes this is the altar of incense and refers us to a golden overlaid table that's in 1 Kings 7:48, talking about Solomon's temple. And most commentators agree. I'm intrigued with the fact that it resembled an altar and that God makes a special note that it is a table before him. The function of this piece of temple furniture may be different in the new temple, but we're not told any more about it. Verses 23 to 26, the double doors and a porch. The nave and the holy place had each a double door. The double doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 swinging leaves for each door. And on the doors of the nave were carved cherubim and palm trees, such as were carved on the walls. There was a canopy of wood in front of the vestibule outside. There were narrow windows and palm trees on either side, on the side walls of the vestibule, the side chambers of the temple and the canopies. We came into the temple in verse 1. Now we're leaving and we're discovering the elaborate doors to the main entrance and the inner room. More of the decorations that were on the wall are now on the door. And as we step outside, we're still covered by a canopy as we stand on the porch. Even the porch is decorated with those palm trees we saw on the walls inside. Ezekiel must be breathless by now, seeing all of this firsthand. But there's another round of measurements for him, coming up in chapter 42. Where will the man from heaven take us next? Let's go find out. Again, I have to kind of skip and skim here. I know it's difficult listening to numbers and measurements and so on. So he led me out into the outer court toward the north, brought me to the chambers that were opposite the separate yard. The length of the building was 100 cubits. That's 175 feet. And the breadth was 88. Facing the 20 cubits, 35 feet, that belonged to the inner court and facing the pavement was gallery against gallery in three stores. And before the chambers was a passage inward, 10 cubits or 18 feet wide and 175 feet long. I'm skipping over. And so the upper chambers were set back from the ground more than the lower and the middle ones. And there was a wall outside parallel to the chambers toward the outer court, opposite the chambers, and so on. In the thickness of the wall of the court on the south also, opposite the yard and opposite the building, there were chambers with a passage in front of them. They were similar to the chambers on the north, and so on. So I have not labored long to understand the intricacies of this design, but it's the intricacy itself. Again, I'm repeating myself, but the attention to detail that causes us to look twice and three times at the marvel unfolding before us. Not the understanding, the spiritualizing of it, but just the fact itself. Look at it. Take a good look at it. Look up words if you need to. Go deeper if you need to see the beauty of this building that's coming up. Having shown Ezekiel the main rooms, the holy ones, he now proceeds to speak of the smaller ones, the function of which is dealt with in part below. There are three stories of rooms with, it seems, 30 rooms on each story. We talked about that. We're going to use one commentator's ideas to deal with at least one of the difficulties of the passage where the expression gallery against gallery is used. What's that mean? Ellicott says perhaps the expression is a difficult one, even in the original. Against is literally unto the face of or in front of. And stories is altogether lacking. It's not there at all. The meaning seems to be that in each chamber building on the north and on the south, there was a gallery in the third story. So placed on the south side of the north building and the north side of the south building that they faced each other. That's all it meant. Verse 8 might also give some of us pause. We know that the entire temple was 175 feet. So how could the individual rooms, 30 of them, be the same measurement? Well, here the measurement is not of each individual room, but of the entire row of chambers. The Lord wants us to know that he's been preparing a very well-designed center of worship for the coming kingdom. But so far, we've seen only things and heard only numbers. Where is the life in this compound? It's just a structure. What's it all for? Well, next time we'll talk about the entry of the priests. The priests. That's going to bother some, I understand. Please understand what I said last time about the fact that we are looking back to Christ. When the millennium comes, we will spend that millennium looking back to what Jesus did. Jesus' sacrifice is not going to be forgotten. It's the center of history. It's the center of our history now. It will be the center of our history then. We look back now. On the Old Testament times, they looked ahead to it. They didn't know what they were looking at, but they were looking ahead to Jesus and all of the priestly stuff that was going on. Well, that priestly stuff is going to go on again, and people will look back and say, oh, yes, that's what Jesus did. Oh, yes, you're standing for something that Jesus did. Jesus will still be the center of everything. Don't be afraid of reading Ezekiel because you think it's all Old Testament. No, it's actually very, very New Testament and beyond in the millennial time. Thank you so much for being with us today. I do hope that you'll come back. We have a lot of stuff on this site. I won't go through it all today. You've been through a lot of details already. I'll just say this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.